This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott.
The American economy.
Climate change without.
Hacking.
Different religions in it.
Sustainability.
Social media.
Security. Freedom.
Technology.
Marriage. Essentially
ethics.
Privacy.
This is Rethink 2014, conversations and stories that challenge the assumptions, habits, and ways of doing business as usual. Today, new approaches to journalism. Last month, the satirical newspaper The Onion issued its final print edition under the headline, Onion Print Revenues Up 5,000%. Traditional print publications, which have cut back on reporters and budgets or ceased publication altogether, have found little to laugh about. Detailed long-form news stories do not even begin to compete with adorable cat and baby videos online for attention or for revenue, leading many to declare that the decline of print means the death of journalism. Before all of us here reach for the hemlock, we are rethinking that equation and that statement. So is Steve Kandel, features editor at BuzzFeed, who's leading our rethink today and believes that the digital age has spawned a whole new era and new opportunities for news stories. Steve, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me.
BuzzFeed's most popular stories this week include 22 of the best extreme selfies, and a quiz, which Disney prince is your true love? So where do long-form stories fit into BuzzFeed's viral model?
Right alongside them. You know, they're not meant to be either or. It's not meant to be doing the same things as those kinds of pieces. So, yeah, no one's sort of expecting, an 8,000-word piece about a snake-handling minister in Tennessee to have 2 million people reading it. But 200,000 people reading it is a pretty fair amount, and that's, you know, that's the kind of thing we can get.
Well, in November, BuzzFeed reached more than 130 million unique visitors globally. Are you saying that the click rate model, getting a lot of page views for stories, is not a big motivation?
It's not. I think that's another big misconception. It's not about tricking people. First of all, BuzzFeed doesn't do slideshows. It's not trying to rack up those numbers. It's actually about, you know, sharing. It's about reading something or looking at something and then hitting the button that I want other people to see this also. That's very different than just clicking on something and having that passive reaction where, oh, I clicked on this headline. Oh, it's a slideshow, so now I have to read all 25 pages in order to get to the end. Basically, the thing that BuzzFeed sort of based on, and that even with these features, the sign of success is if not just a lot of people read it, but if a lot of people read it, get to the end and go, oh man, like I really think other people should see that too. And then, you know, they share it on Facebook or Twitter. And, you know, that's the yardstick that people talk about where I work much more than just eyeballs.
And you can say that from experience. You worked for many years in print, most recently at Spin Magazine, which stopped its own print edition in 2012. I'm wondering at BuzzFeed, however, how you decide which stories to dig in. What makes a long-form worthy story on BuzzFeed?
You know, that's the question that does get asked the most is exactly like, you know, who would share this? And it's a bit of alchemy. You know, we're not always right. But that's the question that we get asked, which is a very different question than you'd get asked working at print magazine where it's, you know, governed by release dates or what month the issue is coming out or whatever, your sort of brand is. You take away those sort of parameters and it really just comes down to like, is it sort of a unique and compelling idea that doesn't actually exist out there in other forums? And you don't see us, you know, we don't really do a lot of really, really in-depth profiles of people who have a movie coming out this week. I mean, we do some coverage of that stuff too, but we're not necessarily beholden. It's almost more exciting to go the other direction and be like, what's something that no one else is writing about?
It's an interesting to hear that rationale because it sounds like the same kind of questions you might ask for any other post on BuzzFeed. You know, you want to remain relevant, you want to remain profitable, but you are constantly churning out posts with attention-grabbing, snappy titles on BuzzFeed. How does that extend to long-form content? I mean, can you apply that same editorial rigor to long-form stories?
Yeah. We run generally one story a week, and, you know, these are stories that have been worked on over weeks and months, the same as any long lead print magazine. And yeah, I mean, the sort of process for working on these things isn't really any different than anywhere else I've ever worked. Someone pitches something, You talk about the pitch, then you assign it, and then you get a first draft, and then you look at that first draft, and then you kick it back, and then maybe it's a third draft. And then eventually it gets to the point where, you know, you publish it. And people always want to talk about the length and the word count as if that's some sort of fascinating thing, which isn't fascinating. It's not fascinating to me at all. Who outside of publishing measures things in word counts?
But it's indicative of, you know, how much time a journalist can spend on this. And maybe I should explain a little bit of my motivation for this question. I just read Doris Kearns Goodwin's book about the journalists of the early 20th century, you know, writing for Atlantic and Harper's and McClure's magazine, applying journalistic rigor to these stories and allowing writers ample time to research topics really deeply. You know, I'm just wondering how people pay for that kind of journalism in the free content world of today.
Okay, you're talking about paying. That's something that I think still has some catching up to do, because a lot of the payment was sort of based on this like per word print model, and that's another reason why people are sort of concerned about word count. I mean, no one's completely figured that out. We're working on figuring that out. I think we do better than a lot of online only outlets. Probably not a lot as good as a lot of print outlets, even though we're aiming for the same caliber of work and the same writers.
I wonder if it's fair to compare with another way that information consumers are tailoring their consumption, the rise of on-demand TV, you know, Hulu and Netflix and HBO Go, revitalizing television in a way with great quality TV. I'm thinking of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, Mad Men. Could this be the beginning of a new golden age of journalism in that same way that people are curating their own content and creating a demand as they're doing it?
The thing that's in common, that this has in common with, like, you know, say TV, is that you watch the things you want and you don't watch the things you don't want to watch. It's not like, oh, well, we only have three channels, so I got to watch this because this show comes on after it. That's not how people experience things now. You watch the things that you watch. No, people aren't loyal to a network. People aren't loyal to a time slot. You know, people are loyal to the things that they like. And I think that that translates to what we're talking about now in terms of, you know, we're talking about stories a la carte, individually as stories, as opposed to them, you know, being like part of, you know, an issue of a magazine where you're subscribing to that issue and you're getting everything that comes with it. And it might have some stuff you want and it might have some stuff you don't want. Now you can sort of read the things you want to read and not read the things you don't want to read. But, you know, you also have a lot more trusted sources. So if, you know, these three or four people that you trust are all sharing this story, you're going to take that as a really strong endorsement, and you're probably going to read that.
Well, Steve, I'm wondering what it was like for you personally. You came up in journalism in the magazine era, working for a magazine with a great reputation, Spin. So what was it like for you to move from this old media to this new media of BuzzFeed?
I don't think you can blame things like BuzzFeed for the demise of longstanding magazines. I think it's way more complicated than that. And I think that that's, you know, especially working at a music magazine, there's a lot of other factors in the music industry and, you know, the realities there that sort of change the relationship between a reader and how, you know, music is appreciated or consumed. So there's a lot going on there. And I don't know that I would totally agree with the idea that I was, you know, that it's jumping to the place that's sort of causing the problems for the others. I think it's way, way more complicated than that. But that said, it definitely felt different. I mean, the sort of latter phase of Spin, you know, we sort of redesigned it as a bi-monthly on thicker, you know, matte paper. And it was meant to sort of, you know, be dropped on your coffee table and make a loud thud and stay there. And it was really about, thinking about why print is important and just to have it. The more things become sort of online and a little bit more ephemeral, people do want that thing that's more tangible.
Steve Kandel is the former long-form editor at BuzzFeed, now called the features editor. There's plenty of information about some of the new sources of long-form journalism and some of Steve's thoughts on it. Those articles online at wordofmouthradio.org. We'd like to know how your news consumption habits have changed. Which websites do you visit for the top stories of the day? Do you find yourself gravitating toward the slideshows, lists, and videos rather than reading longer, deeper features? Weigh in on our Facebook page, Word of Mouth Radio, or on Twitter, @WordofMouth.